Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with the valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests. Ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
And welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Today we have a very exciting show. We are going to talk later in a later segment to a very interesting man who has pretty much changed the lives of hundreds of people. And we're going to speak with him in a little bit. First, as you all know, we do our training tips. Well, we did have kind of a crazy class, and I was actually up in Niagara Falls and lecturing at Cornell University School of Veterinary Medicine for the Canine Behavior Club. What was really exciting about it was to see how many, maybe about 80 future veterinarians who realized that they don't need to be using the gadgets and gimmicks and gadgets of things that, for instance, like using cookies, using clickers, using prong collars, shock collars, choker chains to change a dog's behavior. And what was very exciting beyond that was that the Shelter Medicine Club, which is a really cool group of future veterinarians who are actually dedicating their lives not just to helping our pets, but to helping the unique situations that shelter dogs face, not just with health-wise, but behaviorally. So I'm going to be going back up to Cornell in the next, hopefully, couple of months and lecturing to them and going to the shelters and showing them some of these awesome techniques that we talk about every week. Well, I want a huge shout-out to somebody who's very precious to me. Her name is the future Dr. Jody Joseph, who is actually studying right now and probably smiling, and she is up at Cornell. Studying to be a veterinarian. Big shout out to Jody for dedicating her life not only to the special animals in our lives, but also to the people. And I want to talk a little bit about that with canine behavior. So often, it's not really the canine behavior that we need to work on, but rather the human behavior. We talk about this every week. We see dogs because people call us up and say, you know, my dog has this issue. My dog is barking. My dog is jumping. My dog is urinating all over the house. My dog has accidents, which, as we all know, are not accidents at all. My dog is aggressive. My dog is fearful. Well, depending on the type of dog, all of those issues are typically caused by basically the same few things. The dog sees himself as a leader, and he either is fearful or dominant. And in that respect, he will either become more fearful and potentially fear aggressive, not every dog, obviously, but many dogs, especially dogs in the shelter, or the dogs are dominant, in which case they can become dominant aggressive, which again means that the dog is thinking that he's in charge. So how do you handle not the dog, but how do you handle the human who thinks that the dog has the issue? But, of course, the human is completely not at fault. Well, the main thing is at United Canine Professionals, we see this all the time. We see people, owners, who the dog is not the problem, but the dog is actually the symptom of the problem. So, in other words, when the dog is peeing in the house or making a mess or becoming aggressive or jumping on guests, demanding of attention, and generally kind of a pain in the neck, people say, my dog has behavioral issues. Well, I'm here to tell you, 9 times out of 10, it's the family who has the issues. The dog is just the symptom of those issues. So if a dog feels that he's in charge, It could be because the weak energy or unstable energy of the dog's own family is making him feel that way. Think back to when you were, 5 years old, 6 years old, first day of kindergarten. What was your biggest worry, your biggest fear, the thing you were most concerned about? Maybe, you know, if the kids would like you, or not, what time is mom going to make the chocolate chip cookies? Or if you're younger, what time is mom going to bring out the pre-made chocolate chip cookies in the bag? But when we were kids, we had a wonderful feeling of being protected and provided for and cared for. That's the feeling that every single dog should have. So when I hear someone who has an aggressive dog, and it's a dog that they raised from a puppy particularly, yes, it could be a genetic or congenital issue. There are certainly issues that happen that can cause aggression. It can also be something, as Dr. Jody Joseph will tell you, it could be something tied to perhaps the pancreas. It could be tied to the thyroid. It can be tied to many things, and there can be a physical reason. When I was out in Houston, Texas, and Dallas, Texas, with several of our canine behaviorists from United Canine out there, we had seen a couple of times where when the weather got extremely, extremely wet and drippy and a lot of rain, where there were dogs who were coming up with fungal lesions in their brain, fungal lesions that made dogs aggressive or act, well, out of sorts. So it is possible that sometimes certain dogs have an issue. I myself have a dog who's autistic. I rescued him from being euthanized when he was only a few days old.
2 minutes.
And he was an awesome dog, and I still have him. He's autistic. Now, I'm not being facetious or being silly, because I deal with autistic and special needs kids all the time, and I take that very seriously. When I'm training service dogs, or our people are training service dogs, we take it very seriously because the dogs have to be perfect. But when certain things happen, that dog who I have has a medical reason that he is so aggressive. But, for instance, one of the young women from the behavior club, actually I'll be going over to help her with her own dog, her family dog, who is aggressive with other dogs. And she asked, is it possible it's a physical issue? Well, anything's possible. But typically, if a dog has a behavior and the dog is magically wonderful with everyone but, you know, a particular type of person or type of dog, it's usually not. It's a behavioral issue. It's not physical. So we always want to rule out the fact that there could be a physical issue. But more commonly, certainly, it is a dog with a behavioral issue. So the family calls and says, I've got a dog who's dog aggressive, or I've got a dog who jumps on my husband and pees on his pillow on his side of the bed.
30 seconds.
So she laughs, and she thinks that, you know, that's not a big deal. But the problem is that if we don't make sure that the dog is taken care of, those behaviors can intensify and be exacerbated by other situations. So let's say a family is having maybe have the loss of another pet, or gets a pet after very quickly after the loss of a pet, or has a death in the family, or loses a job, or has some other great stress. Those are typically the times that behavioral issues will pop up. So we're going to talk in the next segment a little bit more about behavioral issues. We're going to also talk about a really exciting thing for those of you in New Jersey. And we're going to talk to an amazing man who is changing the lives of other people and animals. We'll be right back with For the Love of Dogs. Stay tuned.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo, to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Well, today we're discussing about how people's energy affects their dog's behavior. And United Canine Professionals, which if anyone needs to get in touch with us for your dog or you'd like to have a future career helping us to help shelter dogs and also to rehabilitate private people's dogs, you know you can reach us on www.unitedk9professionals.com. That's United K, the letter K, number 9, professionals.com. And you can also look into some of our training programs on our other website for Merlin's Kids, which is Merlin's Kids, M-E-R-L-I-N-S-K-I-D-S, merlinskids.org. Today we have a very exciting guest. We'll be hearing from him in a few moments. But we want to talk a little bit more about how the person's energy can affect the dog's behavior. And we think of it this way. We think of a spiral of energy, in other words, like a slinky. And we think about how when the dog barks or the dog is aggressive or the dog jumps or the dog does whatever the dog does, the human has a choice. Does the human continue that spiral of energy going upward, or does the human stop that energy spiral from ever starting? Well, this is something that we have actually in our my new book, which is also available on ebook, and it will give you the information on our website, or you can Facebook friend us at United K9 Professionals on Facebook. In the book, it really talks not about me and not about what I've done, because who really cares about what the author of a book even says, other than what the person has to say. And that's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about one person. It's about changing the world. It's about actually doing things to help other people without the whole worry or concern or desire for fame and notoriety. It's really about just changing the world and leaving it a better place. So we're going to talk more about behavior in our last segment today. But you couldn't get a better intro than to my next guest, who is just an amazing guy who happened to actually graduate from the same high school and lives in the same town my mother lives in still. So this gentleman not only cares about our dogs and was very instrumental in creating a dog park in the town basically where I grew up, but he not only did that, but he's concerned about making sure it's right. He's concerned that the dogs who go there will be able to go there, enjoy themselves, and above all else, be safe. So I'm going to actually be tomorrow. I will be at the Van Saun County Park, the dog park area, which I don't even know where it is because it's brand new, but I'm so excited. And we're going to be there with some great dogs giving a free seminar on behavior so that this dog park can open the right way and not have the reason a lot of people won't go to dog parks, dog fights and, you know, maybe illnesses and the dogs are out of control and the owners are out of control. Well, that's not going to happen here because of a gentleman named John Fugazi. And John Fugazi is really an incredible guy. He has worked very hard, not just with the dog park, but with something else that I'm going to talk about later. But right now, I want to welcome Mr. John Fugazi to the show. John, welcome, and thank you for being a guest today.
Hi, Janice, and thank you for having me on.
Well, you're very welcome. It's my honor. So, John, tell me a little bit about the dog park and where your brainchild came for or from, because I know that I grew up in that town, and there was no dog park. And I had dogs growing up as a kid, and it would have been wonderful to have a dog park. And, you know, there wasn't one until John Fugazi. So tell us a little bit about where that came from, that inspiration, and why you did this.
Well, basically, I had been going to dog parks in another county. My wife was working in another county, and I was taking our dog, Kayla, out to the dog park. And that was really my first experience with dog parks. And I really saw that it's a very positive experience for dogs to socialize. It was very good for the adults to socialize. You can actually do quite a bit of networking, which we can talk about a little bit. And we didn't really have one here in our immediate area. We had a beautiful county park, and I know people in the past had tried to put it together, but it takes a lot of effort and a lot of cooperation of a lot of people to get something like this done. So what I actually did is started a Facebook group and really started collecting some people who were dog owners to really see if we could get the initiative going, and this was back in May of 2011. We got quite a few people to join. As I was taking the dog for walks in the park, of course, we could still take the dogs there, but they couldn't go off-leash. We had to keep them on leash. I'd be talking to every person I knew. I made up little cards and flyers talking about the dog park. I set up a little mini website to explain what we wanted to do. And I basically, we just kept building the initiative, and eventually we've got the local mayor involved, and we got a councilwoman involved who put a petition together. And again, this is a county park, so it took the cooperation of multiple towns to all agree this is something they wanted, and then to basically put together a petition, get enough signatures, and then go to the county officials to get them to fund it. Originally, I thought we would have to fundraise, but it was really a great situation where the county realized this was a good initiative and put the money in. The people from the park itself, the people workers there, did a lot of the work themselves to make it less expensive, because we are in tough budget times. So it's really a great example, and it opened over the summer, and we're having our official opening tomorrow. And I created what I call BergenDog.org, and it really is Bergen Dog Owners Group. That's what the dog stands for. And my vision was that when I did spend hours at dog parks, I realized that there's a lot of negative stuff that can go on, too, if the dog park isn't managed properly. And, of course, the dogs are usually great. It's usually the people who create some of the issues. So I created this organization to really help us put together groups, have people like you, Janice, come in and speak about responsible dog ownership, and really to promote the initiatives of rescue dogs. You know, there's a lot of people who do rescue dogs, which is great because they need homes. And we really wanted to do some fundraising and different ways to call attention to all the needs that these groups have. We also wanted to promote service dogs. We have a canine unit coming tomorrow from the Sheriff's Department. The SPCA is there, who does great work with dogs. We have the Bergen County Rescue Shelter. And we invited one of the local animal hospitals who paid for T-shirts that we can actually sell tomorrow and donate the money to the animal shelter.
Wow, so that's awesome, John.
Put a whole program together. A lot of work, but you're going to certainly be the feature, Janice, because you're a national celebrity, and the fact that you grew up in this town is kind of neat. And again, that's what we learn. And really, when you can get the initiatives out there, there's a lot of incredible people out there who will step up and volunteer their time and help. Because at the end of the day, we all need to invest in our communities. Doing volunteer work is very important. And honestly, dog owners are really people who are a little more community-driven for some reason. I can't describe it, but they tend to be a different kind of group of people than our general population. So if
you can
get your dog owners behind anything, you can do a great job.
Can you stay with us for the next segment, John?
Sure, I can.
Awesome. Okay, well, we will be right back. Stay tuned for the Love a Dog.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. And today our special guest, John Fugazi, who is nothing short of a Superman, who managed to do what it seems like had been tried and failed many times before. John, welcome back to the show. I wanted to ask you started to mention at the end of the last segment about, involvement in the community and for shelter dogs. I think it's very interesting. You mentioned the Bergen County Sheriff's Department is going to be there. And what is really funny is my husband actually started, he was the guy who started the Bergen County Sheriff's Department canine unit many, many, many moons ago. And it's very exciting to see that they have continued on and have done wonderful things, and we'll be doing a demonstration. So I'm very excited about that. But, John, you were talking about community and people getting together and being able to rescue dogs. And as everybody knows, I train service dogs for special needs kids and for veterans through Merlin's Kids. And most of the dogs that we have are from shelters and rescues around the country. And it's really important for communities to understand. I, as a breeder of Grand Champion, Westminster winning show dogs, I understand that there's a huge need to rescue dogs. So it's not that we don't want you to go out and buy a puppy, but my pet peeve is, please, if you're going to go for a mixed breed dog, please rescue one, because there's some great dogs out there. 95% of the dogs we had until this year were rescue and shelter dogs. This year, it's probably about between 85 and 90%. So the dogs who are out there in your local community shelter, wherever you are, whether you're in Denton, Texas, or you're in Bergen County, New Jersey, or you're in Fairbanks, Alaska, before you buy a dog, and this is coming from a breeder, folks, I'm picky about what I do with my dogs. Everybody else, some people are, some people aren't. But before you actually go and get a dog, check with your local rescues, check with your local shelters, and see if your heart can't be won by
you know, by maybe a dog who's already there, kind of like adopting a child. There's nothing wrong with having your own natural born children, of course, but if there's already a wonderful dog who's just waiting and whose wait may end sadly and tragically with a euthanasia needle full of pentobarbital, you know, maybe you can save that life. Maybe that life might save yours. So, John, tell me a little bit more about the community aspect of you know, how you want to get involved. And also, if you could, if you wouldn't mind, just tie into what you're doing with Neighbors Helping Neighbors, because that's also very fascinating.
Yeah, just the one last thing on the rescue. You know, we felt it was very important to continue to promote this, because I don't think people realize it. Everybody wants a puppy from a breeder. And, of course, we know across the country, some areas have kill shelters where after a certain number of days, these dogs are going to be euthanized. I know there's a big movement to try to stop this in certain communities, but certainly it's still an overwhelming problem. And again, with our bad economy, there's a lot of justification by the authorities not to to keep dogs. So it's really important. We're always highlighting their needs. And yes, I think they can be wonderful dogs, and you can kind of turn their lives around too by giving them a good home, because many of them have had difficult times.
Right. And for God's sake, please, people, don't go to a pet store. Don't go buy a puppy from somebody who is making money on it, and that they're getting a dog from a puppy mill, and the mother is going to still be there even though you've got your puppy. She's maybe had 10 litters, and your puppy might be litter number 10, and she's still living there. You know, please be responsible. And if you want a purebred dog, absolutely. Hey, I love my purebred Ridgebacks, but I've also rescued way more, probably 5 to 10 times more dogs, purebred and mixed breed dogs, than I've ever bred. So please help us, help John, help me, help the dogs out there by rescuing first, if at all possible. All right, John, so you got to tell us. I'm really excited about
basically
what you've
done. I was out of work, and, you know, I did do a lot of work at the dog park, talking to people who needed a job. We really, every time you saw certain people show up at a dog park during the day, you kind of knew they might have lost their job. And about the same time that I really started the Van Sorn Initiative, I essentially started a group called Neighbors Helping Neighbors, which is an all-volunteer job search support and networking group. And I started it up in our local library again here, Janice, where you grew up in River Edge, New Jersey. I had attended another meeting, and it was really unproductive. People were complaining how bad things were. And I really felt like there had to be another way to do these meetings and really have a positive impact. And what's really important is when you are out of work, you have to admit it, and you have to really work very hard at networking. So back in January 2011, I started up Neighbors Helping Neighbors at the River Edge Library. We ran the program for 6 months there. We had probably 15 to 20 people who had filtered through. And people started landing jobs by sharing job experiences. And what happened is, again, I landed a job within 3 months of starting this group, went to work for a full-time job in North Jersey here. And I was so connected to the people, and what we were doing was so positive and so good that I just couldn't stop doing it. So I kept running the group at nights and on weekends. I would basically train other people in the program. We actually developed a program and a format and an agenda to really each meeting, every week we come and meet, because it's very important to stay consistent and to stay motivated. Jobs are very difficult today. The economy is not in good shape, and most people have to compete for jobs. By coming together and helping each other brainstorm, help people with each other's resumes, interviewing practices, and all the different things you need to perfect, it's been unbelievable. So here we are 2.5 years later. I now have 28 weekly programs all over New Jersey. I have one up in Boston Public Library, and we're actually going to open up the end of this month down in Washington, D.C. We have helped 328 people land jobs, and it's just incredible. We have over 1,200 members. We're getting all kinds of national press. I was in the New York Times. We've been in USA Today, our local papers, and our website, which is tremendous. I put a lot of time and great information there. We've had people that just use the website and are able to help themselves with their job search. We were just
voted. What is the website, John?
The website is www.nhnusa.org. And if you go there, our website was actually listed this week on Forbes' top 100 career websites. This is the second year they've done the lab.
Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations, John.
Pretty exciting, yeah. And that really gives some validation to what we're doing and the information there on the site. We keep a LinkedIn group, which is very important for job seekers. But we're also looking for anybody who wants to help us open up chapters anywhere in the country. We're up for expanding. We've got an existing program. And we connect everybody through LinkedIn and through the Internet to really be able to take advantage of everybody helping each other. And again, we call it Neighbors Helping Neighbors because we're not career professionals. We're just people who have been in business a long time. We've all learned a lot through the School of Hard Knocks. And we share information. We share our network. We run it on what we call a pay it forward model, where you have to really help other people without expecting anything in return. But the reality is when you're doing that, so many great things come back to you. I can't even begin to tell you the stories. We have a website, has a page dedicated to all the success stories. Everybody that we've helped basically puts in their own words how we've helped them. And to us, that's a great testimony. But the other thing is very important.
Well, John, wait. We're coming to the end of the segment, but I hate to ask you, but can you stay for one more segment?
Yes, I probably could.
Okay, one more. And people, stay tuned not only for the love of dog, but for the love of helping your neighbor. Stay tuned.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers, remote trainers, have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Today we have been speaking with a superman named John Fugazi, who has not only put together a dog park that was probably 25 years in the making, but he has also founded this incredible group called Neighbors Helping Neighbors, which is he actually founded amazingly because of his experiences at dog parks. So there may be people who, just like you and who like John, who, you know, are at the dog park during the day. I never thought of it because I'm self-employed and I go where I go. But, yeah, you know, you would wonder, why are so many people at the dog park during the day? Well, there may be people who have been trying to get a job and can't. So they have that extra time and they go out with the dog. But John's been telling us about the fact that he actually created this through networking at dog parks and realizing that there were other neighbors who, in different towns, in different cities, in different states, who need a job. So, John, I want to ask you a couple of questions because this is really a lot more than I realized when we first, when you first agreed to do the interview. My question is, how did you start out when you lost your job and you were at the dog park? See, I wouldn't have thought that way. I would have thought, gee, that's great. Somebody else has a couple of minutes during the day to play with their dog. But you, because you were able to kind of pick those people out, somehow you saw that as an opportunity, and that's amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about what started and kind of why you thought of, gee, you know, these people don't have jobs. How do you network at a dog park?
Well, we teach people networking is the single most important thing to get a job. And the first thing you have to do is there's no shame in not having a job today. Our economy is horrible. And what you have to do is tell people that you're out of work. How can somebody help you connect with somebody for another job if they don't know you're out of work? And I think for many years, people felt ashamed if they lost their job. They would tell people they were consultants when they really had nothing happening. And you just have to be an open person. Now, not everybody's comfortable with that. I happen to be, you know, a chatty Cathy, and I'll pick everybody's brain. I'm a sales and marketing guy. I always want to learn about everybody, and I'm very social. So as you talk to people, it's pretty quick, and it was kind of interesting. You'd see a new man. Again, it would be somebody who hadn't been at the park. I was unfortunately a regular there, coming every day with the dog. And there was a regular cast of characters who were there. There was the lady with four dogs who had one more than the rules actually allowed for, but nobody gave her a hard time. And it turns out here a couple years later, she's actually one of my facilitators down in our Mendham group. But what you would realize is a man would walk in with a dog or a woman would walk in with a dog. You could just tell there was something just not right. They just didn't feel right. And you'd start talking to them. And then, of course, the best thing is, hey, how you doing? You know, what's up? Are you on a day off? And they would say, well, no, I got laid off. And then, of course, I would go right into all the stuff that I've been learning for my own use about, you know, job searching and the things you need to do. And, of course, once I had started the group, I would tell everybody about that group. But we were only in one location at the time. So as you really network, I tell people you need to network everywhere. I used to use the dog park stories at our weekly meetings constantly, that you have to open up your mouth and talk to people. If people don't know you have a problem, how can they help you? And what's surprising is when you do open up to people, people will help you. If you're at the supermarket, if you're at the cleaners, if you're at the drugstore, any place where people gather, you can strike up a very friendly conversation. Hey, not everybody's friendly. But the people who are, you'd be amazed at how much they'll do for you. And we also tell people to have networking cards, to have a business card with your contact information that you can give to people so that that person now meets you, realizes you're a pretty smart person, very capable. They may come across the job 2-3 weeks later, and they'll be able to reach out for you. If you just talk to them and don't have any way to connect to them, it's going to be very difficult. So having what we call networking cards is very important for job seekers to really be able to give out. And, you know, this can be done, again, anywhere, but the dog park is a good place to do it because, again, as I said earlier, usually dog people are nicer people than the general population.
I think so. I couldn't agree with you more.
If you're at the racetrack, they may not be so nice, yeah.
That's right, especially if they're having a bad day and not winning. Yeah. But you know, that is a very interesting point that most people, even with dogs, it's the same thing. When I've gotten more, like I just had a phone call from the sister of the principal of a school that I've placed a service dog in. And, you know, you don't know who's going to be able to help you. It's the kind of thing where, you know, when you need a babysitter and you ask your friends and say, hey, do you know someone who's a good pet sitter or babysitter or, you know, good store or a good vet? And I guess we've always all networked, but, you know, this is kind of taking it to a new level. John, one of the questions I want to ask you is, you have your dog, Kayla, who I know Wyatt's played with, and she's a golden retriever, really pretty. But when you go there, do you ever have a conversation, do you ever strike up conversation with somebody because their dog, you know, gets along with your dog, or is it more just something where you're just talking to the people, you know, regardless of what kind of dog they have or how friendly it is?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. As we know, certain breeds do get along better with other breeds. But I mean, again, typically, depending on how many people are there, you're going to pretty much talk to pretty much everybody. But if your dog does get along better, I've noticed that Goldens seem to be attracted to other Goldens. And actually, Goldens like people. It's kind of funny. When they come into a dog park, they go around and greet all the people before they even pay attention to the dogs because they're very people social. But I've noticed with Labradors, there's many breeds. And you also see dogs sometimes that your dog doesn't really get along with. And there's no way to determine it, why it is, or whatever it is. So, again, you want to make sure that you're watching your dog constantly. I mean, there are some people who get too involved in the chat and stop paying attention to their dogs, who aren't watching for clues if something isn't going right, and also who sometimes don't pick up, their dog ways.
Oh, yeah, their doggy duty. Well, hopefully,
so that's why the rules are out there, yeah.
Right. And hopefully that's going to be something that we'll be able to really work on at the Van Swan County Dog Park tomorrow. John, tell us what time does it start, and you want to give an address for those people?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the official address, it sits between River Edge and Paramus. It's off of Forest Avenue, Continental, and Howland. The entrance is on Forest and on Continental. The official address, I believe, is 216 Forest Avenue. But it's the largest county park in Bergen County. They have a beautiful accredited zoo there. It's really a magnificent facility. So at 10 o'clock, they're going to have a few of our politicians. We're going to kick it off. We're going to have a ribbon cutting. And then, again, we're going to get into the agenda of having, you know, the various service dog groups, having yourself there, Janice, doing your seminar. And hopefully there'll be lots of people attending. We'll be selling the T-shirts again as a fundraiser for the animal shelter. And we just want everybody to enjoy a good time. And it'll be a good way to kick it off. What we found, too, is even since the park's been open, it's well hidden within the park. It fits in very nicely. It's not obtrusive at all. And there's many people who probably don't even know it exists. So we're kind of doing this big event to try to increase awareness so we can get some decent participation. Because, as you know, nobody wants to go to a dog park and have no other dog there. That's no fun.
No, if you're going when nobody else is there, you can't network with John Fugazi. John,
all right, it kills
before
my job
the segment there. Ends, before the segment ends, just can you tell us the Neighbors Helping Neighbors website and the Bergen Dog group, website?
Basically, I formed bergendog.org. It's Bergen, B-E-R-G-E-N. dog.org, and again, all our information's there, our mission statement, and you know, we're putting up a lot of our friends on that site too, so we have Janice and her group there. The Neighbors Helping Neighbors again is www.nhnusa.org, and all you have to do is reach out there. You can contact me through either of those two sites if you have a job search issue or you just want to give some ideas. You know, we're going to work on a lot of ideas to really promote the rescue centers. We really want to help where we can get dog breeders involved to take on initiatives to maybe do fundraising for rescue centers that specialize in their breeds and really have everybody kind of, you know, help the whole process. You know,
okay.
I think, again, if we can all be one community, we can do great things together, and it's really done one person at a time.
All right, awesome. Well, we're going to break for our next segment, but thank you so much, John. John Fugazi, and we will hopefully see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening, and everyone else, stay tuned for the Love of Dog. We'll be right back.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. We had an amazing guest today, John Fugazi. John had to leave because he's helping someone else getting a job. And I just wanted to mention that I think John should be the job czar for New Jersey because this man is amazing. He doesn't even have his own job, and he's dedicating himself to other people getting jobs. And I think somebody out there in the listening audience or perhaps a politician who might want somebody who really is in it for the right reason, maybe you're going to want to give John a call or contact him through Neighbors Helping Neighbors or Bergen Dog Owners Group. But anyway, let's get back to talking a little bit about dog parks and dog park etiquette. Well, tomorrow I'll be there, and apparently the Sheriff's Department will be there, and there'll be some other rescue groups and some great people there. Now, one of the things is that a lot of people call me and call our other United Canine Professionals, people around the country, and they say, you know, I wish I could go to the dog park. My dog doesn't like other dogs. My dog doesn't get along with or doesn't like people or doesn't like little dogs or doesn't like big dogs. And again, we started talking towards the beginning of the show about dogs sometimes are the symptom, not the problem. And one of the things that having John on the show really reminded me is there are so many people out there who don't have jobs now, and their dogs are getting these crazy behavioral issues, dogs that are 6, 7, 8 years of age that have been the best dog in the world, but all of a sudden, because things changed in the owner's life and the owner's energy was weak or the owner's energy was unstable because they were upset, obviously, at not having a job and not sure how they're going to pay their bills, a lot of their dogs are coming with behavioral issues now. So, you know, we at United Canine Professionals really believe in helping the community and helping dogs around the country. And we do help people also who are looking for a job, who love dogs, who are looking to help dogs and are not motivated by money. Of course, we all have to eat. But, you know, let's see what John Fugazi did. He started a group, and it's kind of like what I did with Merlin's kids. It's not a matter of what you're going to get back. It's not a matter about self-promotion and how wonderful you think you are, because you can be a legend in your own mind. But the way I think that people should be judged is by how many people and animals they help. So it doesn't matter exactly what you do or if you which charity you give to or who you help, but just help somebody. Help a dog, rescue a dog, help a rescue group. Help your neighbor get a job, help a neighbor who, an elderly neighbor who can't take care of things. A lot of times, even those of you who have teenagers who are looking for community service hours, if you contact merlinskids.org, there are volunteer opportunities. So let's say an elderly neighbor who has a dog and the dog doesn't get to go out, but you have a 16-year-old son who needs to get community service hours, he can go walk that neighbor's dog and get credit through Merlin's Kids. He can mow a lawn. He can pick up poop. You know, it doesn't kill you to pick up poop. Trust me, I'm not dead yet. And, you know, it's really about helping other people, and that's what I think is so fascinating. There are so many people out there that when you go to, like John said, going to the dog park, or just my clients who I go to and all over the country, and our other people who are all over this country, quite literally, in more than 30 states right now, all these people are trying to help other people, other dog owners, other dog lovers,
and just helping others. So if you have, let's say, a dog with a behavioral issue, maybe the dog is very animated or overly excited, not because, you know, of what he's eating or whatever, like we spoke about last week with nutrition, but maybe if you let your 16-year-old child go and walk your neighbor's dog every day for 20 minutes after school, maybe that dog would then become more stable and you could actually help your neighbor and help the dog, especially people who, well, I'm sure nobody, not too many people are listening who don't have dogs, but if you do have a neighbor with a dog, help your neighbor out. Do what John did. Do what we do at Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals. And if you are looking for a job, remember, we need canine behaviorists all over the country. And this is a special technique. It's actually been honed over 30 years. And it's really pretty awesome how we can go into a home and in a matter of 3 hours, change the people and thus change the dog. And that's including aggression. That's including dogs who are nipping. That's including dogs who are having accidents, quote unquote, accidents in the house. It's really about any symptom of the family, or it could just be that the dog has issues, but we can fix that. Please don't give up on your dog. United Canine Professionals, our goal is to prevent 4 million dogs from being euthanized next year like they were this year. Every year, there are roughly 3.5 to 5 million, depending on which, if you use HSUS or Humane Society or different groups, but there's at least 4 million dogs every year being euthanized. Now, some of them might be aggressive, some of them might have behavioral issues, but most of them wound up in the shelter or rescue group, either because people lost their jobs and had to move, or wound up with minor behavioral issues, or some major, that can be easily fixed. So if you enjoy doing obedience and you enjoy, you know, competitive things, like I love my lure coursing and agility, that's fine. But if your dog has a behavioral issue, you're not going to be able to fix it by giving him a cookie and or by shocking him. I can't even believe what some of the things that people do to their dog. You wouldn't allow a person to put a shock collar on your child. Why would you let them do that to your dog? So, you know, we really want for people to understand that it's the most important thing is to give your dog a purpose, give him a job. And if your energy is very weak or your energy is not a stable, kind of calm, confident energy, your dog may wind up paying the price with a behavioral issue. So you can visit us. If you do have a question or a problem, please call us at 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855-4-K-9-PROS. Or if you want to get us and talk to us about Merlin's Kids, maybe fostering or just you need a service dog for your child, you can contact us at 855-HI-WYATT. Actually, H-I-Hi, Wyatt, W-Y-A-T-T, or reach us at UnitedK9Professionals.com or at MerlinsKids.org. I want to thank John Fugazi for being on our show today. He's an incredible man, doing a great job. And anyone out there who wants to help and rehabilitate dogs and turn it into a career while helping their owners and the dog, please contact us. Stay healthy. Stay well. Give your dog a big hug. For the love of dogs, we'll see you next week.